The end of the final chapters of John are fairly confused. They've been edited a bunch of times, so it takes some real sleuthing to figure out what is going on. And this passage is part of the great farewell discourse, which goes on for pages and pages and pages. But that's a standard form. Moses has farewell. The prophets have farewell. Everybody has farewell. Goodbye, goodbye. And before I leave, this is what I want you to know. So this is what John has Jesus doing as well. And the background of this thing is what is the background of all of Jewish thought, namely the covenant. What's a covenant? Again, it was a standard political form in the ancient world where the king and his vassals would say, well, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. It was a quid pro quo sort of thing. And so they use that form to describe God's relationship with Israel. I'm going to do this, I'm going to be here for you. Except it is a strangely one-sided covenant. And in the Gospel of John, in this passage, is becoming more clear. So there has to be a law, by the way, to finish up this covenant thing, because there's always a covenant. There's a law, a setting up of conditions for obeying the covenant. It was true all through these farewell speeches. So the author John, whoever he or she was, created this thing too about a new law. A new law I give you. So what's novel about this law? Really. That you love one another. And clear, I mean, that was all through the Hebrew Bible. That love is the center of the thing, except Jesus takes it to its extremest form, which we find in those things. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's not Johannine, but that's totally within the Johannine context of this command to love. In other words, I think it's someplace in either the Quran or the Hebrew Bible. You love those who love you and you hate those who hate you. Which is, that's standard business. There's nothing new there. That's just the way we operate. And so the novelty here is that you're supposed to love people who don't deserve to be loved. Just like God loves. Because that's the whole point of the biblical narrative, and certainly of Jesus' life. We are supposed to be turning into creatures that God intended in the first place. That's why I wore this vestment. Well, for several reasons, but one, because it speaks of Paul's notion of a new creation, you know, the lion lying down with the lamb and all this other wonderful stuff. So all the antagonisms in the world are dismissed, but they're dismissed how? By the power of loving somebody who does not deserve to be loved. It's very simple. It's very simple and almost impossible to accomplish. Of course. A few weeks ago, I talked about God as the supreme self-giver. God gives herself to everybody without counting merits. And that's what is implied in this passage, which is enormously difficult, I think. I can stop loving a cashier who takes too long, give me the wrong change. And that's going to be an instance of failing to love, failing to care about this other person. So it is very difficult. That's what I'm trying to get at. It is very difficult to love your enemies, to love as God loves. But that's the only kind of creative love there is. I mean, you think of the alternatives. love the people who love you and hate the people who hate you. Well, that's a recipe for disaster, for the world pretty much as we know it today, you know. So we got entrepreneurs who, in this, I think Sanders is dead right. And I hope that Mrs. Clinton will pick this up more vigorously than she has in the past. The division between the rich and the poor is massive and growing and has been growing in the past 20 years. And all that is simply an expression of lovelessness, you know. You don't worry about the people who are making $7.25 an hour, which is the basic wage in the States. You can't live on $7.25 an hour. You know, you just can't do it. You can't do it. But it's in the law, therefore it must be all right. No, it's not all right. As you know, California and New York have both raised their salaries to $15 an hour. And even that, I wonder how far that will go if you have a family of three or four or five people. But you don't count what you can get in return from those people. Good day's work or higher profits for my business. No, no, no. You love them. You take care of them. You offer what you can to sustain them. Simply because that's what God does. The Eastern churches talk about theosis. We in the West do not have that, but all the Oriental churches. Theosis is a Greek word. What does it mean? Becoming godlike. And that's the anticipation here. We're to become godlike. And we don't do this in the church. We certainly don't do it in the world. And we want to shade this so that's not really what God. No, God, that's unrealistic, God. No, no, we'll cut corners and shave things. No, that's exactly what we're called to. And that's why, as some theologians are beginning to notice more forcefully these days, that's why the cross is never far behind the figure of Jesus. I mean, you look at the people in our world who are talking about equalization of the rich and the poor. Because that's what love is about. I mean, you withhold stuff that you know people need to live, and that's loveless. That's loveless. And we're supposed to outgrow that. How do you outgrow that? You don't outgrow that by making a will out of it, you know, or pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, or telling other people, even worse, to pull themselves up by the bootstraps when often enough they don't have boots. You know? So this is tough stuff. This is tough stuff. But that's what this renewed world, the new creation that Paul talks about, and the new covenant that Jesus talks about in John's Gospel. That's what it's all about. And it is shameful that the churches constantly want to moderate that, dilute it, make it palatable. It's not palatable. And we all know that. So we either close our eyes to make it more palatable, or we shudder before the prospect, or we try to embrace the cross of being transformed into somebody who can love everybody.